Aloha, everyone. This is Ashley from GoldenGoddesses.org, and welcome to the inaugural episode of Threshold to Ascension. And as is common when you're starting a new endeavor, there's a glitch here and there. My guest tonight, Laura Eisenhower, is going to talk a little bit about the Mercury retrograde energies, but I had to laugh as Don from BBS was working his heart out trying to get through the glitches. Thank you, Don, for bringing us together. I was actually going to start by sharing that, in transparency, I am a little bit nervous. And I think that's good. That excitement of leaping into a new mission is something that I'm sure many of you, our listeners, can relate to. The difference is, when do we allow it to paralyze ourselves, and when do we move through it anyways? I got an email this morning from one of those marketing lists you sign up from Jesse at JumpCut. He was talking about just this, letting go of the fear of making mistakes and doing it anyways. He mentioned he has a post-it note on his computer that says, every day is the dawn of a new error. And I had to laugh because those of you that know my partner Joseph know that he's the king of puns. But it's really true that no matter how we map things out, things don't always go the way we plan. We plan and the universe laughs. That's where growth comes from, is how we hold space and move through the things that may seem like they're a little rocky. And that's what my show is about for these first few months, is bringing in guests that you may know very well. They've been in the field of consciousness for a while, and they're going to share with you, along with their newest information, they're going to share with you a little bit about their journey and how they overcame the initial hesitancy and obstacles. Why? Because all of us participating in Threshold to Ascension hold the unified field and the intention for each of you to let go of being small, stand in your power, and let your light shine. Before we get going with Laura and all she has to share, because this is the inaugural issue, I really do want to say thank you to some very important people who have held space as I've gone through my initiations this year. First and foremost, to all of you from the Wednesday night teleconference family, saying I love you doesn't sum up how much it means to co-create with you each week. I'd also like to thank my global sisters, goddesses, surfers, all of those who have encouraged me as I encourage them. To Doug and Don at BBS, thank you for answering all my questions and all that you do to help the consciousness message be spread to the collective, to my family, to those that helped Joseph and I with the roof over our head, Deb and Scott, Jonna, Pat, Andrea, Robert, the gifts from Allie, and my good friend Randy Kramer. And finally, I want to give a heartfelt thanks for all that I learned and all that I experienced and all the people I met as part of Yseti Ranch and James Gilliland. There were many amazing times there, opportunities for me to grow and to hold space for others to grow. And as we move forward, my intention is and always has been to be in unity consciousness, to hold the frequency of light from my heart. As all of us are works in progress, no matter where we are on this journey, standing in our integrity, standing in our heart, and truly lending a hand to those who may stumble at times but are willing to dust ourselves off and shine our light. This is my heartfelt intention. And finally, to my partner, Joseph, who has journeyed through me for many, many years and many lifetimes, thank you for holding space for me to step into who I am. And to you, the listeners, thank you for your patience as I went through that list, but I would be remiss not to express the gratitude, because truly, gratitude frequency is in alignment with unity consciousness. And that gratitude from my heart also extends to my dear sister, goddess, my guest tonight, who I am so grateful to helping me launch this show, Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. Laura, to you and Kevin, I say thank you and welcome to the show.
Hey, Ashley. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
It's such a delight to have you. Now, as those of you who know Laura Eisenhower, but I love how you describe yourself, a global alchemist, intuitive astrologist, cosmologist, whistleblower, and most importantly, someone who's truly passionate about this ascension window and supporting others and stepping into who they are. And you have been such an example to me over the years. I've been blessed to know you, because you have, in a way, no fear, although you may not know that, but you've been through so much and you dust yourself off and you're so committed to your mission that I love the fact that you are willing to be who you are and to show all sides of you, because truly I believe that it's intention, not perfection, and your being willing to be that is encouragement to others to step on their path. So again, thank you and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot to me.
Now, we talked about starting tonight's call with a little bit about what's happening cosmically or astrologically. And you and I laugh because my brain gets scrambled with all the conjuncts and the alignments and all the technical terms which you're so good at. But would you mind giving an overview in layman's terms of what's happening energetically at this time?
Yes. Well, the eclipse energy was between July 12th and July 27th. It started off as a partial solar eclipse in the sign of Cancer. And basically, the new moon energies related to eclipse has a lot to do with breaking shackles. So in the sign of Cancer, that's going to take us into the emotions, the emotional body. And as we know, with the emotional body, we can have security issues. We might cling to attachments that aren't healthy. We might rely on attachments to make us feel good. And sometimes it's difficult to be sovereign when we're stuck in our emotions. But yet it's so beautiful to have emotions, because if we weren't able to feel, then how could we heal? How could we connect? How could we have compassion, empathy, and feel deeply into ourselves and others and what's going on the planet? But of course, there's some things that don't serve us. So it was definitely like a powerful time to just recognize what was maybe pushing us too far in the direction of toxicity or imbalance when it comes to emotions, or when it came to emotions. And then the July 27th lunar eclipse was in the sign of Aquarius, and there was a strong Mars component. So maybe people felt a lot of amped energy. Maybe it was just easy to snap and just feel like, oh, wow, if there was something that you maybe would have done well letting go of around the solar eclipse time, maybe it just, some of the tension was that it wanted to just be gone. And sometimes, you know, the fire energy, we just snap because there's something that we weren't able to process or release. And so sometimes it can be like, whoa, okay, all right, didn't expect that to come out. But if we were, you know, really focused in on releasing some attachments, it might have been a little bit easier to handle the Mars energy, and it might have just shown up as assertiveness and willpower. But the Aquarian energy is great because it's ruled by Uranus, and Uranus is an electrical energy. It stimulates the nervous system. It helps us to really, you know, step into our truth frequency, what that means for us. And eclipse energies last for about 6 months, so, you know, setting intentions was really important. But it's behind us now, and looking ahead, this week has been sort of bumpy with Mars and Uranus making a challenging aspect. And really what that means is that same fire, that same willpower mixed with that electrical energy, that Uranian energy. So it's almost like we're still playing out a lot of the different forces that were taking place during the eclipse, still able to process out or work with what we are being maybe directed towards. Then, you know, right before the lunar eclipse, Mercury went into retrograde, which is always fun because we get to go internal and we notice that things in the external don't line up maybe as easy. But yeah, so, I mean, it's really about shaking off attachments that don't really serve us. And if we're resisting shaking those attachments off, that Mars energy is going to come in with fire. And the most important thing that we can do is stay conscious and aware and be in as much integrity as possible, because Mars can be very hasty. It can be very aggressive. It can be very rude if it doesn't take a deep breath. And on that note, I'll take a deep breath. And yeah, just we're moving into the Lionsgate energy, which has already begun. But yeah, so the eclipse, remember, it lasts for 6 months, and still work with that. Still make sure to look at attachments that don't serve you and really focus in on what your intentions are, what your visions are for a good while ahead. Even though it's past, the energy of it's still really strong, and that's why we're still getting aspects that relate to what we experienced during that window.
And it's fascinating how all of this combined, a lot of the eclipses, a lot of the Mercury retrograde, the day out of time, all seems to be reinforcing this theme of looking at the emotions as, in a way, messengers of what's out of balance in our journey and stepping into our mastery, so that when the Mercury retrograde challenges come up, like the glitches we had at the beginning of the show, it's a great opportunity, I think, Laura, to stay in our mastery and not let it take us off center, but rather hold heart space. How does that resonate with you from that astrological perspective?
Absolutely. And that's what we're being encouraged to develop within ourselves. When things don't go exactly the way we would like, when attachments are ripped away from us that we don't want to let go of, do we trust what is unfolding? Can we, you know, kind of let it go and be flexible? Can we recognize that there's more than our desires and wants at play that we can be flexible towards? And that fluidity can really serve us because, you know, the universe speaks to us. We're in relationship with everything. And creating our harmonious relationship with the forces, the aspects, and each other, and the circumstances that arise, and keeping that harmony alive is just as important as keeping harmony strong and alive amongst each other as we develop unity consciousness, as we work on sacred union relationships and our own personal healing. And so life is no different in the way we interact with it. It doesn't do well to fight back, to you know, be in a controlling space or in a victim space. But at the same time, we can't deny that some of that's going to be a part of our process. So we got to drop those judgments and just be willing to move through it and, you know, grow from it.
And I think it's an important distinction between discernment and judgment, right? It's truly going into your heart and what feels like truth. And that ability not to give your power away to anyone, but truly trust your own guidance in this time of this eclipse doorway and what's happening has an opportunity, I believe, to be accentuated and really create monumental leaps in our journey of self-mastery.
Absolutely. And it's no different with how we relate to news. I mean, it's so easy to attach ourselves to, you know, something outside of ourselves. And it's better to just consider it and be objective and just observe it than to allow it to run our energy for us or infect our creative channels. It's nice to just ally with other things and other ideas. But if we don't maintain our sovereignty, then it's very easy for something to sneak in and start to drive our creative energy maybe in a direction that we would want to reverse if you know, we're not staying conscious the whole way through because we've given that power away. So yeah, this was a really powerful eclipse for that. And I think, you know, even though it's past, we still get sharpened and sharpened with some of these aspects coming in to just really, you know, fine tune it. It's not like, oh, you know, if it didn't happen during the eclipse, it's just you're going to be challenged for the next 6 months. But we can, you know, stop and take a breath and look at everything, because the more time that goes by, the more rooted our belief systems are or our perceptions get. And it becomes sort of a reality that gets a little stickier to undo versus when it's still sort of formless and we're still working with just, you know, the vision as an artist would before we paint too much on the canvas, if you know what I mean.
And I think what's also important to recognize, as you touched on, and as you and Alfred and Patty are talking about in your new YouTube show, News Evolution, is the understanding of how these alignments and activations happen personally but they're also taking place collectively. And so this clearing of the emotions, clearing of the wounds, we're seeing it play out in the news, if you watch it, or in what's happening within our families and our communities. But again, that mastery, as you say, of not getting hooked into it, holding a higher frequency of that unified field.
Yes, because then our BS meter is strong and it's able to kind of handle anything that comes our way without it playing on our greatest needs and wants and also fears. And that's really where it begins to hook in. So, yeah, I mean, if we look at just all the stuff that's getting exposed, but all the other things that can jump in and sort of intercept some of the good intentions behind some of, you know, the good things happening, the positive developments, you know, can easily start to morph into maybe taking advantage of the way humanity is reacting, where one has to be very careful to just maintain a certain level of clarity. And I could go into detail about, you know, some of the things. It's just not running too far with certain news sources without double checking whether it's fake news or if it's being exaggerated. I mean, I think I'm all about busting all the criminals, but I do have to stop myself and take a breath and look at the sources. And I'll never drop the notion that everybody deserves a fair trial, even though there's a huge part of me that absolutely knows that the ones that are being called out are need to be held accountable, and why waste any time with a fair trial, because there's enough witnesses. But still, if we're not consistent, then everything can, you know, kind of fall apart. So, and the thing is, nobody's suing anybody. So that's a huge sign too. But I'm noticing that a lot of outrage happens with certain stories that the media encourages, and then people aren't going to say anything unless they see everybody around them outraged. I mean, there's almost a trendiness connected to it all. And I just hope everybody can really think for themselves and really step back and give it the time of day. I know it can drop our energy too, because it's very tragic and it's very painful. And I've been grappling with that a bit. Have to kind of balance out how much exposure I have to it and you know, find something incredibly positive to offset it, or else I'm just like in a fetal position.
Well, I think that's important too, is A, to be aware of when you're getting caught up in the mob mentality, right? And then, you know, some people call me naive, but I don't have my head in the sand, but I choose not to wallow in what isn't working, but rather to do all I can to hold a field of what I intend to see our world be, right? That doesn't mean I don't support companies like Monsanto. There's lots of things that I do. But for me personally, it doesn't work to lower my frequency and get angry. That's my own personal thing. And each of our listeners has the way that they work through this energy. The importance, again, I would like to reiterate, is during this window, which again goes through the 8-8 gateway. And I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the partial solar eclipse that's happening on the 11th. But it is this common theme of being able to stay in that space of heart while not allowing yourself to be a doormat. It's such a delicate balance. And can you bring in a little bit of the 8-8 Lion Stargate, Lauren, how that ties into this time?
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's, you know, really just where it's at. I mean, we need to know what's going on, but that's not where we need to, you know, get stuck or go into the doom gloom. That's where hopefully it'll help us to crack open further into our mission, our purpose, our divinity, our creative power, our ability to hold an override frequency to all that darkness. And in that, everything kind of balances out. I like to say, as we rise, it falls, you know, and it's just sort of organic and inevitable. So that's awesome. Yeah, so here we are in this window. It actually began July 26th, and it lasts till August 11th. A very special day, my husband's birthday. Yeah. So, you know, it's a really powerful window, and actually things should kind of settle down a little bit. So each year this takes place, the sun, the earth and the star Sirius move to specific points in the sky, and it creates an opening between the physical and spiritual worlds, which is really great because we don't want to bounce back and forth between higher and lower self so much. It's really about that integration where we can bring higher consciousness into our living world, into our physical bodies, into our lifestyle, so that we are more easily able to move out the things that are toxic, the things that don't serve us, the things that we're really not in agreement to, but we feel like we have to do for survival's sake. And that also, you know, was what this last eclipse was kind of pointing towards as far as attachments go. So there's a strong Sirian component. And, you know, so a portal, like Lionsgate portal. What is a portal? I mean, I think people are pretty familiar with it. It's Stargate energy, and it allows travel between dimensions up to distant locations in the universe. It also has to do with how we connect with our galactic chakras, because, you know, we hold the multidimensional creation within our own DNA and our own chakra system. We have chakras way beyond the seven. And so this window, or this Lionsgate, allows us life-altering and transformative situations, experiences that encourage us to, you know, kind of stop kind of having that pipe dream procrastination. And it just kind of gives us that nudge to work more rapidly towards important goals and visions that we may hold. So it's a nice little encouraging kick in the rear. And at the same time, a lot less chaos. It's almost like a very, you know, grounding thing. And when we really tap into those spiritual energies, all that difficult news that we're seeing, all the stuff that's so heavy in this lower density, all of a sudden just doesn't feel so sticky and so traumatic. You know, it's just a great glimpse into what our true potential is. You know, I mean, we're being encouraged to stay in this low density, to be siphoned into an artificial timeline, or to maybe stay conquered and divided because of our difference in political views. There's still a lot of that, even though everybody's really well-intentioned. And, you know, there's a tug of war. You got the white hats, you got the black hats, this and that. You got this intel stuff going on. You got these different ET races. Mm-hmm. And I think this is just a really great window. It connects also with the Divine Mother, the Magdalene energy. It's always been sort of associated with that, which is a part of what we're all made of. You know, just that journey into the underworld and out again, you know, that phoenix rising. And in that revelation, we get to see who we are as sovereign beings. We get to recognize that divine template, and we get to just kind of, you know, feel that elevation while still having our feet on the ground. And I think it's just perfect after, you know, these powerful eclipses, and the fact that there's still eclipse energies going on in this time as well. It's just a whole bunch this year in terms of that. And I think we'll notice that time doesn't move in the same way that it normally does. We might notice that our frequent anxiety energy that we might feel, or any kind of panic attack, start to get a little bit more soothed, or it might even be more amped as we break through certain barriers that have been stuck perhaps from childhood, past lives, you know, things that are more unconscious that are wanting to come to the surface. So everybody's going to experience it a little bit differently. You might notice some symptoms, maybe even flu-like symptoms, detox kind of symptoms, because the thing is, we tend to think food helps us detox, but really the most nourishing energy is spirit. And when we really integrate that energy, it knocks out toxicity, bad memories, trauma, you know, and things that are maybe spiritually or mentally, emotionally in need of detox, just like the physical body. And so it's kind of giving us a blast of that.
And that's so true. And one of the things that when I was tuning in to the Lionsgate is this encouragement, that positive, as you kind of shared, and recognizing that when we hold on to the old story or the old wounds or the loop, that energy is creating a density within our light bodies, within our beings, that is not going to be able to bring in as much light. And so when we move through those and truly love ourselves and laugh at our human moments, laugh when there's a glitch, when the radio show doesn't start on time, rather than getting worked up about it, it allows our I am presence, or monad, however you language it, to just beam in more light to the light carriers that each of us are, that are walking the planet.
Totally, totally. And of course, that lion energy and the Leo energy, you know, everything that represents, you know, creativity, creativity's, you know, huge. The fifth house, the house of Leo, rules, you know, art, music, creativity, recreation, the things that really help our inner child come out and play. So if we've been too serious, I think we'll find a lot of lightness. And in that lightness, the things that start to want to make us serious again, or anxiety ridden, is kind of like, do I really need to be dealing with this person or this situation? Can I change this? And if you can't, what can you do to lighten the energy and help shift the energy. Because, you know, that's the alchemy part of us. We can either drop and match the frequency and vibrations around us, or we can really hold our ground and invite people to match us instead. Not with expectation or force either, but just with the gentleness of compassion and love and respect, regardless of where that person is on their journey.
Exactly. And holding that unified field. And one of the many things I love about you is how your guidance with the astrology alignments, as many things that you bring in, can be so helpful. And I really want to thank you for offering the 30-minute session as our giveaway tonight for those of you listening. On the website, goldengoddesses.org, if you scroll down on the home page, you'll see the little form there that you fill out to enter into winning this 30-minute session with Laura. If you're on a phone, there's a special button to hit so that it works on your phone. We'll actually announce the winner next week on our call, and you'll be notified by an email. And from my own personal experience, having an astrological session or a session with Laura is going to help you really fine-tune and have that sense of direction and where to go. So thank you, Laura, for your kindness in providing that session for our giveaway this week. I wanted to fulfill the commitment I made to have you talk a little bit about how you got started. I mean, it feels to us like you've been doing this forever in a positive way, right? But do you mind being a little vulnerable, sharing a little bit about what got you to get on the mission, what you were doing beforehand, and what you feel is probably the biggest initiation you had to go through to continue spreading your message? Because I know a lot of people listening are waiting to start their mission, but perhaps there's something holding them back.
Right. Gosh, it's a great question. I have no issue being vulnerable. I'm pretty darn transparent. So, yeah, gosh, before I became a public speaker, which was in 2010, it was a very tumultuous journey. I was pretty aware of my mission as a child. It was just sort of like, you know, just all of a sudden, okay, here I am, just trying to accomplish something that I've actually been working on for quite some time. You know, that really has to do with bringing balance to the masculine and feminine, understanding these deeper and darker agendas, noticing, okay, I'm in the Eisenhower family. I'm going to have to understand what that's all about and what's going on or what went on during his administration that relates to extraterrestrials and some of the more hidden things, which I was paying attention to along the way. But from what I've come to understand, that I was pre-targeted to be on a timeline that I didn't want to be on. And I could feel that energy on me up until I became a public speaker. And, you know, they're still targeting and everything, but it became a really strong protection to set myself free and to have a voice. And I think that's a big thing and a big, you know, step for all of us, that, you know, we might feel, what will others think? I'm going to lose friends, or what will my family think? But, you know, I don't think people realize the minute you liberate yourself and you allow yourself to have a voice, the synchronicities, the magic, the protection, and everything is that much more available. And if you can work it correctly with your friends and your family, you know, you're not necessarily going to have abandonment or rejection. They might just step back a little bit and just say, wait a second, I don't know if I can process this right now. But I know that, and those that really aren't wanting to stick around, then, hey, you just got to say goodbye. My background was in wilderness expedition leadership, so I spent years in the wilderness, and that was really my teacher. I was raised half of my life in the Washington, D.C. area, and that was really intense because I was always observing and just trying to get a grip on what the heck is this mission. It just won't leave me alone, like won't leave me alone. And I would try and talk to people about it. I was talking about the ascension window period, you know, while I was in high school. I ended up winning Most Out of Touch with Reality for my senior class. Then I kind of backed away from even going to school, and I really pursued my own education. I would just hang out at the library, learn astrology, learn, you know, things that you just don't learn in school. I was just, you know, really on a quest for knowledge and wisdom that would match some of the weird epiphanies that I had all throughout my life. And I felt a strong connection, you know, to the mother. And I just felt just regardless if I make it or not, or if anybody even knows my story, because it wasn't ever about that for me. I'm tasked with just helping the mother energy ground back into the planet, because there's all these reversals. We have degradation of the environment. Our skies are, you know, being sprayed. Our waters are contaminated. Our inner elements, too. I mean, there's no difference between the inner and outer in a lot of ways as far as a collective goes. And so, yeah, being in the wilderness really just helped me to listen to the mother, really helped me to connect with all sorts of wild animals and all sorts of different terrain and climates. And I think that was the most pivotal thing. It just helped me to appreciate myself, because I had so many stigmas, like, oh, you have ADD, oh, you're dyslexic, oh, you know, you'll never do well. And yes, let's just worry about Laura. She's just a little strange, you know, and just all these stigmas. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's like, you know what? I deep down knew who I was and what I was here to do, even though I don't associate myself with anything, but just the openness, being a conduit, just saying whatever you need, you know, I'm in service kind of thing. That experience was really good for me. So, you know, you just, I don't know, I was raising twins by myself on and off. I had, you know, partners, got recruited to Mars. And then, you know, there was a point though that I had to run into these people, because I couldn't manifest or create anything without feeling like there was some kind of weaponry or force on me, but you can't talk to people like that. So I ended up in a psychic institute, a clairvoyant institute, by accident, and they helped me to understand the weaponry and the targeting and this and that. And then I still just wasn't able to release it. And I ended up just, you know, basically being like, take me to where the root of this is. I'm just going to have a showdown with these, whatever this is and wherever it's coming from. And that led me to all sorts of things that helped me to break free of that control. I think it was inevitable that I was going to run into the Mars people. And that I was going to end up just sort of like going with where those technologies or where the attacks or the psychotronic weaponry were trying to get me to be. I don't think they realized, though, that there was no way in hell I was going to go, and that it would lead to me doing research that could help me to uncover how infiltrated this agenda has been and how it really is to compromise humanity, create new world order, get some people off planet with weird promises and a lot of manipulation to make it seem like a good thing when it's really just more enslavement and control. So I guess, you know, to just encourage people, I know my story's a little odd, but that doesn't mean anything. We all have had interesting stories throughout the course of our many lifetimes. We sign up for different things, but at the end of the day, we all share a common purpose, which is to be sovereign, to be authentic, to break free of the things that, you know, want to control us, digress us, and siphon our life force. And I think we could all share in common that we want that. And we want to upgrade our DNA and recognize, you know, what is that all about? And so a lot of my presentations and a lot of my work is about uncovering the truth about what these upgrades are about. And it really does have to do with sacred union and the progression into Hieros Gamos. And it's a love story. And I like to simplify it like we're divorcing the imposter and we're embracing true love, the authentic true love between our own personal Christ consciousness and our goddess earth cosmic energy. You know, that's also, you know, masculine. So, you know, everybody's got that within themselves. I'm grateful for the experiences that I had to push me into making sure that I could articulate it and come to terms with it and be able to share it in a way that maybe other people could understand. But as something to remind them, because it really doesn't have anything to do with me, and it never did, but this is like a collective experience that we get to embrace together.
Exactly. And I think it's really powerful that you said that your journey may be unique. You know, you may come from a family lineage that's well known, but you're a human being, right, with galactic influence, but you're a human being. And what you did throughout your journey is you took what seemed like adversities and seemed like roadblocks and used them, if you will, through the journey you went through, to give you even more to share. That ability to have lived it, I think, creates a relatability when we share our vulnerability and don't allow those obstacles, even the targets, even the infiltration, even the attempts on your life. You continued to pick yourself up and take that new information and share it. And I think overcoming that fear that there might be obstacles is an important message for the listeners who are contemplating starting their mission. Not the fact that something's going to go wrong, but the fact that taking those challenges and turning them around, there's always a higher vibration of wisdom that comes through.
Exactly. And that's the global alchemy part. A huge part of my journey was going into, you know, the underworld or the labyrinth. You know, there was so many years in just total darkness, nobody to help pull me out except for myself. I had to find my own inner light. And it was almost like it was purposely set up that way, I guess, my higher self or and I know some people don't like to refer to things like that. I consider it all integrated. We all can integrate it. But you know, it was just things that I couldn't pinpoint exactly, but I'm like, why am I in this? And why, you know, and so it's really important that people aren't afraid of their own darkness, their own shadow, the things that need to be cleared, the obstacles that come in the form of these memes and propagandas and agendas that are outside of us that can disguise themselves as being hopeful or cause us to not look at the future in a very, you know, positive or hopeful way. That we get to kind of step back and allow the challenges and the blessings to help us to grow into our sovereignty instead of control our belief systems so that we're constantly either, oh, geez, I can't believe I was afraid of that, or, oh, geez, I believed in that, and now I got completely let down and crushed. If we don't have a foundation of our own interpersonal truth and we don't go through those deep, deep journeys that really connect us with our intuition and our connection with the earth and the cosmos, then we'll never really be able to have the discernment that we're talking about or the clarity to know how to navigate. Because the thing is, creative channels operate from instructions, and our creative channels easily get infected, you know, by whatever we see on the news, whatever we read, whatever we watch in movies. And I think we're all, I mean, I've let go of all that a long time ago. But,
and one of the things you were talking about is that you had, we talked a little bit about a tool or modality that you'd like to share with people. Do you, are you able to do that now? Looking.
Yep. Yeah. So it's just the whole idea that there's what I would say is three different things that we deal with as creative beings. There's things to let go of, there's things to integrate, and there's seeds to plant that take us into the future. And those laws are just as much in the mental, emotional, and spiritual as it is in the physical. We can see that when we cook a meal, there's byproduct, there's stuff that needs to be cleaned and put away so that you can make the next creation. So when, as creative beings, you know, we're, you know, feeling into ourselves, we're relating to other people, we're taking stuff in, we're putting stuff out, and, you know, we it deserves and needs maintenance. So if things accumulate in the mental body, the emotional body, it can become very toxic, just like if we don't wash our dishes and we don't clean our kitchen, what happens? You know, rats and mice and insects start to come, and it can get really gross. So what's the difference then with these other levels of our being? If we don't clean out and integrate what's available and what's important and look ahead and sort of plant seeds consciously, other things can get in there. Because if we're not in our power, something else is going to be in our power and might steer us someplace we don't want to go. So it's based on paying attention to the triggers. There's positive and negative triggers. We might feel triggered. Something might bring up a childhood wound or an old trauma, or we might be triggered into, I don't know, really tapping into our divine potential or something that, gosh, we'd really like to do, maybe a creative project or a trip we want to take or something we want to pursue. So the whole concept is that you create three boxes or three envelopes or three folders on your computer. The first one has to do with things that you would want to release. And you can look at it like it's compost for anything that might come up. And it's something you can check in with once a day, once a week, maybe wait till the end of the month. I mean, I would encourage like the new moon, full moon kind of thing, but it really doesn't matter because we have those forces within ourselves as well, even though, yeah, they're more strengthened during certain alignments, but it really doesn't matter. So the whole idea is that every time a trigger comes up that causes anxiety, causes fear, causes some sort of trigger that throws us into a lower vibration or a stress or anxiety response, that we just jot it down like, okay, somebody said something and it just triggered me. My partner just did this and it just triggered me. Well, what is that? You know, and it's something that we can look at and assess later, because very often we either shove it back down or we instantly react or we project on that person that they're whoever did that 10 years ago. Or, you know, you're projecting your issues with your parents onto them because you really cleared it. But it gives us a chance to kind of grab those things before we do something that could make the issue worse or more problematic, to just sort of look at it and say, okay, I'm looking at it objectively now. Now I can see it because it's written on paper and I've given it a day, and I'm not just going to react. I'm just going to, you know, assess who I am for maybe like 2 weeks. It might be all that takes. The second one is about acknowledgement. There's always things to acknowledge. It might be an opportunity. It might be an email that you sort of put to the side that is inviting you to do something really fun. It might be a phone call that you haven't checked the voice message of yet. And when you do, it's like you might have ended up moving on to the next thing and didn't really realize, like, wait a second, my friend from, I haven't talked to her forever and she just called me. It might be just something that happened at work that could change things for the better. It might be an opportunity that could get you out of the job you hate, you know, that we don't want to miss. So you want to just write those kind of things down. And the acknowledgement part is to just read it and assess it and don't really do anything with it until you can, you know, look at all these things and say to yourself, is there a red flag connected to this? Is this something I really want to do? And then the final one has to do with dreams, visions, and seed planting. So as all of you listen to this, you can just sort of think, okay, there's three different categories here. I'm writing down my triggers, both positive and negative. And the dreams and visions, you would want to put into a box. It might be inspirations and visions and goals you have. And then you want to energize it with maybe a crystal or a necklace that you like to wear or a bracelet and just kind of let it sit there, let it soak in the vibration and then wear it around. And then you don't have to sit there and just strategize like, how am I going to make this happen? Because the thing is, our creative energy is like, you know, we're made of so much water and water picks up frequency. When we encode it, when we infuse it with our focus and intentions and visions and dreams, and we make sure nothing else is getting in there, there's nothing we can't create. So if everybody's like, wow, I didn't quite catch all that, and you want to email me personally, I can send it to you all written out. And yeah, it can be very useful. I've taken this sort of approach, and I was able to just move through so much stuff, because think about how much we loop. I mean, of course, meditation is going to help. Of course, yoga and, you know, what we eat. And but if we don't have the energy, if we don't have our thought forms, our beliefs, our the things that stop us in our tracks, or if we keep denying our visions and dreams because we just stay complacent or we just want to do or feel like we should do what other people expect of us, you know, then we might end up with, you know, depression and anger. And it's also geared towards global things too. Like, how can you process some of that? It's a good tool for that too.
Absolutely. I think it's such powerful tools. And again, do you want to give out your email address for those that may want to email you for the write-up you have? Or I can also add it to the show handout information, but you want to go ahead and give your email out while we have
a yes, moment? Yes, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, B as in Bigfoot, E as in elf, the number 4@gmail.com.
And so again, those are such powerful, simplistic, and yet very powerful. Three different envelopes or folders, what you're looking for to release, the triggers, what you're acknowledging. In a way, saying yes to the universe. What are you saying yes to the universe about? And then that box that you're holding space and putting energy in for your dreams and your visions. The seeds you want to plant, as the guidance I was given to really focus on the internal expansion. And I think these are very powerful ways of doing that. Laura, if it's all right with you, when we finish this show, if you don't mind doing an after the show, I'll call you separately so the listeners can kind of listen to some of the other things we were going to talk about that with the show being changed a little bit, we weren't able to get into right now, and I'll post that out. I did want to come back to a couple of things. You talked about the galactic chakras, and do you have a moment to kind of share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, humanity's been compromised for quite some time. It got real intense or even just more solidified in this lower density after the Atlantean cataclysms, you know, where we really got cut off from our galactic memories. The mother energy was not able to be anchored in the Earth core, so we ended up in this sort of dark reversal Baphomet that created a lot of false Black Madonna networks that just create archetypes or stories about the goddess that aren't true, really. A lot of distortions in ancient texts. And humanity also was given ethereal implants to prevent us from being able to move into our galactic chakras and activate our DNA. The Earth grids were impacted with negative technologies. They actually unplugged in certain areas of the planet, the masculine and feminine, the Albion and the Cathar bodies. And Lisa Renee, energeticsynthesis.com, goes into this kind of stuff. If, you know, anybody wants to read further, if they're like, sounds interesting, I want to know more. So anyway, we've been in a process of healing this, not so much that we can find those dark technologies and destroy them, but we can neutralize them through being willing to move through the frequency modulations and some of the attacks, because they're psychic attacks very often when we start to progress beyond our seven chakras. When we go into 8 and 9, that's the monad energy. And it looks like an infinity spiral in our energy body. And that begins to download into our fourth chakra, and it changes it to a blue lotus color that the Egyptians considered a very sacred essential oil energy and color, which is like the higher heart. When we're not connected with that, our fourth chakra is very vulnerable to astral parasites. because, you know, it's very hard as humans to balance out our heart energy. We either give too much or we are closed off and shut down. And astral entities love that imbalance. When we start to move into the galactic, which a lot of us do without realizing it, and we bring it in, we have a much more neutral energy. We're more the activator than the absorber. We're more just able to carry a vibration that assists our bodies in moving to the next stage. And once we're in the 8 and 9, we're already kind of in the next stage. And this relates to harmonic universes and where we were before we came down into this density. I mean, this is actually a 13-dimensional planet that's called a 3D Earth, but it's the matrix that's 3D. It's not us. The programming is 3D. But we are, you know, on an ascension planet that's based on developmental phases. It's not all going to happen at once. And there's a lot of history to why. But a lot of wars, blown up planets, fragmentations, you know, things that we're recollecting and reintegrating. So when we move into 10, 11, 12, that's really our avatar consciousness. And that's the full 12-strand DNA that relates to the stargates on Earth. It connects with the grids. And it also, you know, on a galactic chakra level, takes us then into the Trinity. And that's what's so special about humans, is that in order to win the war, we were seeded very advanced. And the manipulation against us is so that we would never remember that, because once we do, we basically win the war. And so we have to recognize that we win the war within, and that it's an internal battle. And we have to understand that it's a war on our consciousness, which a lot of people already do. And when we can get through those attacks, when we can get through the different things that don't want us to progress, because very often we get attacked and then we feel defeated, like, oh, I'm not doing well on my spiritual path, so screw it. I don't want to do it anymore. You know, but if we can just move through those layers and, you know, everything that's just trying to stop us from being able to, when we get to the other side, they really lose their grips, and we become a part of being able to open these stargates and, you know, galactivate into what's beyond. But we're able to anchor it also into the Earth, and it becomes a fullness and a wholeness. And then our Merkaba is,
you've got about 2 minutes.
From carbon-based to crystalline as possible. So there's a lot to look forward to. We haven't even really begun to scratch the surface.
And there's so much that you have to share. Again, we'll do a little bit after the show, if you don't mind, that I'll have up on the YouTube channel and put that link onto this show archive. So Joanna and Sarah that had questions for Laura, we'll do those in the after the show part. Laura, do you want to talk a little bit about where you're going to be coming up? I know you've got a conference coming up later this month.
Yes. Let me just get the dates. So Dimensions of Disclosure, that's the 18th to the 21st in Loveland, Colorado. Folks like Corey Good, Dr. Michael Sala, David Wilcock, Elizabeth Wilcock, Justin Deschamps, Teresa Yanaros, and more will be there. And I think there's still tickets available. And then Stargate to the Cosmos, October 25th to 28th in Albuquerque, New Mexico. In November, I'll be heading to China. I don't know if anybody can join me there, or if anybody from China is listening. I'm really excited about that one. And so that's what's kind of around the corner.
And then we're working on a webinar that we'll be doing in September, depending on your travel schedule. And so we're working on that.
30 seconds.
Touching on some of the things that Laura just really had a chance to just give a little taste of tonight. I think, in summary, the importance of truly trusting yourself for our listeners, and taking that first step and going on the mission and trusting the heart, is really how we all continue to lift up the collective and know that there are going to be things that don't go according to plan. When we're in our mastery, we're able to move through that and not let it stop us.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, what's beautiful is just knowing that we don't have to struggle with the external so much. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we have to. And to a certain degree, yes, we want to expose things. We want to create outer justice. We want to hold the criminals accountable. But the most important thing to remember is that every place, everything, every dimension that we want to go to, you know, the greater bliss realms, the things that are going to bring us to our twin flame or true love or whatever you want to call it. I don't tend to go into the terminologies. I mean, that's our deeper soul journey, and that's available to everybody.
And I hate to cut you off, but we're going to get that playoff music pretty quickly. So I just wanted to remind everyone, if you go to goldengoddesses.org, there is the entry form to win that session with Laura. Laura, I want to thank you so much. We'll continue this conversation separately. And thank you for being with us. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Don, thanks for playing the glitches. I don't know if you can hear me, Don. If it's possible to play that 30-second commercial, I'd appreciate it. If not, we'll do it next week. I look forward to welcoming you all to Threshold to Ascension next week. Keep shining your light this week. The time for being small is over. Mahalo. And good night.
Good night.